If our response and or reaction to other people is smart, it will always produce peace. If something doesn't tend towards peace, it's not wise. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's not intelligent. It hasn't been thought through. It has not been adjudicated properly. How to walk in the principles of peace. By the way, there's only one way. The way of peace is a singular statement of Scripture. It is one way. People try a whole lot of other ways, but only one way is there to peace. However, on the way of peace, there's many principles that are involved, and that's what we want to study today. So, point number one, I want you to get in your notes, is just not any path will take you to peace. You have to choose the right set of principles in order to have peace. And so comes the Master himself and the Scriptures and says, make straight paths for your feet. Make them straight, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. Now, follow peace with all men is the next verse, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's go back to a translation. And by the way, I only use translations if they don't change the meaning. I only use a translation if it helps see the meaning it's already in. We recognize the authenticity of the King James Version, but translations kind of help us get insights. Don't change the text. That's the main thing about looking at other copy. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. That's kind of really good. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living in peace with everyone. That's kind of important. In fact, that's what I want you to get as the second point. The way of peace is not selective. We don't choose to be at peace with one group of people and not at peace with another group of people. We don't choose to be at peace with one type of person and ugly or not at peace with another type of person. It is not a selective. Make sure you do not miss this. We are to follow peace with all men, everybody. Peace is God's agenda for planet Earth. Remember the angel pronouncement, peace on earth, goodwill to all mankind. That's God's agenda. And so he doesn't want us selective and choose to get along and be peaceful with certain people and not with other people. He wants us to be at peace with all men. It's not a selective issue. Another translation, work at living in peace with everyone. Work at it. Work at it. In fact, and when you come into, this is kind of a neat scripture. When you come into a house, anybody's house, give a salutation. Watch, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come on it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. In other words, nothing should take away your peace. But if your peace can be spread to some house, to some home, to some family, let your peace be on it. If they're not receptive, it's okay. You just let your peace return unto you so you don't lose your peace. So, and to everybody's home, peace to this home. I often say it when I walk into somebody's, peace to this place, peace to this home, peace to this family, peace to this marriage, peace to these children. Peace. We speak the peace of God because that's God's agenda for everybody, and we are instruments of his peace. That's why the scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall inherit the earth. Watch now. So, honor all men. Here it is. Here's the command. This is not, don't just honor a few people. Giving respect and honor to every human being, because every human being is someone for whom Christ died. So we don't put down, we don't point fingers, we don't argue, debate, fight, get into skirmishes, we don't antagonize, we don't, because we are instruments of peace. And of course, we get to learn this in our own marriages and in our own homes first. But even outside that, We are to honor people because they are made in the image of God. They may be off track and they may be troubled. In fact, they may be basket cases of some sort. All the more reason why we become the conveyors of God's peace to them. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Let's look at this now. The way of peace requires determined effort. This is not going to happen automatically. It's going to take energy. It's going to take a mindset. It's going to take effort, a determined effort. Look at this. If it be possible, look at this phrase, as much as lies in you, as much as you can muster up, look at this now, live peaceably with all men. We are to go at this with energy, vitality, sense of mission, if you please. The way of peace requires determined effort and obviously you can understand why. Because there are a lot of people who aren't very peaceable and they're going to come at you with non-peace. How are we going to respond to the non-peace people? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But the way of peace requires a determined effort. Now, notice this also inside of Scripture. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is rightness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God consists of doing what's right. It consists of peace and it consists of joy. This is what the kingdom of God is like. These are wonderful modifiers of God's kingdom. They are doing what's right, living in peace, and enjoy, and with the accompanying working of the Holy Spirit that makes this even possible. But it requires a determined effort. This is the kingdom of God. Now look at the next verse. For he that in these things serveth Christ is, number one, acceptable to God. Number two, is approved of men. So he that in these things, let's go back and look at these things, the three of them. There's three things here. They are doing what's right. They are peace and they are joy. Watch this now. And he that in these three things, doing what's right, working at the peace issue and living in joy, that person who does that is serving Christ. And this is acceptable with God. Isn't that delightful and amazing? It gives us the approval of men. And we're going to see how your peace is going to affect unruly, troubled, even wicked people in just a few moments. But it is acceptable with God. This is great. And it's approved by men. So let us therefore follow. That's what this determined effort is. Follow after the things. What things? The things which make for peace. And the things whereby one may build up, edify, encourage another person. That's what we are to be like. We're to have peace. We're to work at peace. We're to be determined about bringing peace to people. That is our agenda set to us by God. And go back. Don't miss this. He that in these things, doing what's right, having peace and joy, is serving God acceptably and will get the approval of mankind. We'll come to more details of that. So let's follow after these things that make for peace. These are some of the principles of following the way of peace. We have to work at determined effort. Follow after the things that make for peace and the things whereby we can make everybody we speak to better people. Here goes another scripture, that you walk worthy of the vocation. wherein you're called. What is that? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep unified with the Spirit and in the bond, not the bondage, but the bond, the connection fastened to the Holy Spirit, the bond of peace that comes from working these three things in the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Endeavoring. This is where I would get the word determined effort. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, because the Spirit is the personal administrator, representative of the Father and the Son on the planet right now, and He is here to bring peace to people. And so we are to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice this scripture. This is one of the pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. That we are, part of our armor is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in other words, we are to be prepared as part of our endeavor going forward, our determined effort. We are to be prepared to bring the gospel of peace to people. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, it must be duly noted that peace requires wisdom, and wisdom brings about peace. So, just a recap from the book of Isaiah for a moment. The way of peace, they know not. They, watch this now, there's no judgment, there's no smart thinking in their goings. They haven't thought through how they interact with other people. And as a consequence of not thinking through the peace way, the peace path, the peace processes, the peace principles, and that what has happened is they've made them crooked paths. And watch this now, because in these unthought through adjudications where they think it's going to be peace, but it doesn't, notice, whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Wow. So somehow, I want you to go back and look at this verse again. The way of peace they don't know. And why is it? Because there's no judgment in their goings. They haven't thought through what we're speaking about here, understanding how peace works and how the way of peace is established by God, and what are the principles with which one must comply in order to bring about peace. So they concoct their own idea of how to get along with people. And instead, they end up with crooked paths, and because they walk in them, they shall not know peace. And contrary, the Lord says this, stand, saith the Lord, stand in the ways. In other words, look around at all the ways, all the philosophies, all the ideas that people are living by. Look, go ahead and take a look at them. See them. Stand in the ways and see. But ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And if you walk in the old path, you will find rest for your soul. This is about the peace of God that comes because we look at the ways of mankind, our culture, even internationally, we observe what's going on. And we must, according to the previous verse, make the right adjudication, right decision making. And not create false paths of peace, but rather there's an old way. They call it the old time religion. It's the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And if you walk in it, you'll find rest to your soul. So the way of peace, to be peaceful and walk in the principles of peace, requires at a most fundamental level, not only the motivation, the desire, the determination, but it requires wisdom. So here we see this several places. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable. If something doesn't tend towards peace, it's not wise. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's not intelligent. It hasn't been thought through. It has not been adjudicated properly. Persons are reacting to one another and without due process, thinking process, without the control of the heart, without the agenda, without working towards a peaceful relationship with everybody. And so, thus the lack of wisdom. And so, wisdom is first pure, then it's peaceable. Now, there are other elements to it. It's beyond scope of this morning to spend that time, but it's peaceable. I want you to see that the way of wisdom requires, or the way of peace requires wisdom. And then it goes on to say, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of doing what's right, is sown in peace of them that make peace. So back up with me just one moment. It's talking about this wisdom that's from above. It's peaceable, right? Watch this now. And in addition, the fruit of doing what's right, which is what wisdom leads you to do. Wisdom will always have you do what's right. And thus, because of this fruit of doing what's right, you sow in peace and you are a peacemaker. Let me give you a couple of commentaries about this. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Whoa. They comes from wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the scripture says. And watch two verses later. Her ways, that is the way of wisdom, are ways of pleasantness. Now watch this. All her paths are peace. If our response and or reaction to other people is smart, it will always produce peace. If our reaction or our response to other people is not peaceable and is not peace-promoting and isn't aggressively determined to bring about peace, then we are lacking in wisdom. Because all the paths of wisdom are pleasant and they are peaceful. So this wisdom thing is really important. Now, here's probably the toughest thing for most people. And it is understanding that the way of peace comes from keeping God's commandments. So, it's strange because once you say commandments, people go, they brace themselves, right? Like, you know why they do that? That is the response of narcissism. That is the response of selfishness, because they think the commands are going to interfere with their selfish agenda. So they don't want the commands because they got their agenda, whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, up or down, forward or backwards. They got their agenda, and the commandments come along and jar them. Keep the commandments. Come on, preacher. Watch this now. For thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Right? Watch this now. I am the Lord thy God. Oh, let me get down to it. I am the Lord thy God. Now watch this. Which teacheth thee to profit. Why not go your own way and fail? Because God comes along and the commandments to us are success tips. In fact, tips is probably not the right word, because tips implies you could take it or leave it. Everything, every success in every area of life rises or falls on whether or not we follow instructions that are accurate, detailed. Now watch this, because we're going to switch from the word instruction to the word command. What's the difference between an instruction and a commandment? An instruction might be optional, but a commandment is not. God calls them commandments because there are consequences and or results depending on whether we keep the commandments or not. So God comes along and he explains in detail to us, I am the Lord thy God, and I'm going to teach you to profit. I'm not going to teach you to lose. I'm not going to teach you to fail. I am going to teach you to win in every aspect of life. Not because you are so pompous and wonderful, but because I'm going to give you the instruction. Now watch it now. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Boy, you want to put that in capital letters, underline it or something, put a circle around it. Let's stop here just for a moment. Have you got this straight? God doesn't want to be in your life to interfere with your success, your joy, to disrupt your peace. He is for you. He wants you full of joy. In fact, he describes it unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you in peace. In fact, he describes a peace that passes understanding, that will keep your heart and your mind. It is a very wise and prudent person who chooses to follow God's ways. The problem with sinners, you know, I don't want to be without compassion when I say this, and so I don't mean this in any mean way, but simply as an observation, they're stupid. And they are reaping the consequences of decision making that damages, hurts, destroys, pulls down, disrupts, ruins, degrades. Oh. The single smartest thing in life that any one single person can do is to realize, oh, I'm going to do it God's way. Why would you do it God's way? You know, one of my favorite characters in my life, I met him. We were on the same platform together. He was the musician. I was the speaker. I still have great fondness. I have a video that I play once a year at least, and he's on it. His name is Barry McGuire. For you old people, you remember he did a song, a hit parade song years ago called The Eve of Destruction. Remember that? Barry was a wild Jesus. Well, before he was a Jesus, I was a freak till I met Jesus, you know. In fact, he got arrested. He was in the White House and was sliding down the banister. He had a character. One night he was at a party where everybody was doing drugs. And everybody in the living room was just people laid all over. They were all smashed. And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he was laying beside the coffee table. And he reached up, and grabbed a book on the coffee table and took a look at it. And the book said, good news for modern man. Yeah, wow, I could use some good news. Far out, man, some good news. He opened the book and he thumbed over a few pages and looked at a couple of words. And he read the words of Jesus. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that do evil to you. He said, wow, whoever wrote this book, this guy's really got it right. Because back in that day, in the 60s, there was a peace movement, but they didn't have peace. That's what led to the Jesus movement. He later discovered that it was Jesus' words that he was reading in this book called Good News for Modern Man. And I'll never forget Barry's testimony. He said, there was one fundamental reason why I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He said, it was because I discovered that Jesus was right. He was right. He was right about everything he said. Barry went on. He hooked up with an old friend of mine, Tony Salerno, the Agape Force. I spent a month with them down in Sebastopol, California, which is the... They bought the old Peanuts State, Schultz Estate, and they had a big camp down there for trained Christian teenagers. And that's where I met Winky Pratney, and we went to college campuses for a week. And Barry got hooked up with them and put down his guitar because it was his God. After 2 years of not touching his guitar, they were in a meeting. Tony said, Barry, it's time for you to play the guitar. No, that was my God. I'm not doing that. No, it's not your God anymore. Pick it up and use it for God. And so Barry picked up the guitar that night. And he'd been singing ever since. He sings songs like It's a Happy Day and I Praise God for the Weather. He's written songs for children. Here's the deal. Barry determined, as every thinking person ought to on this planet, that following the commands of God, the instructions of Jesus, because he is right about everything. So comes this verse and says, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Now watch the next phrase. I am the Lord thy God, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Watch it now. Oh, that thou had hearkened to my commandments. What commandments? These are the commandments that were designed to teach us to profit. The commandments that would lead us in the way that we should go, right? Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Go watch the result. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. The way of peace is anchored. It is indissolubly united to the commands of God. Let me see if I can illustrate it. If your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. Do you see how that one simple commandment has the potential of producing peace with an enemy? Or if your enemy's thirsty, okay, God, what's your instruction about that? You give him something to drink. So you got somebody who's cursing you, right? So what's the commandment say? Bless those who curse you. You got somebody doing you bad, doing you evil. What's the instruction? You see, we want to get our fists up. We want to get in their face. We want to straighten them out. We want to dominate the conversation. We want to engage them. And the result will be escalation. Remember, God's agenda is peace on earth and goodwill towards all men everywhere. His agenda is peace. Very connected, by the way, to love, as we'll see in a moment. There cannot be peace if we do not follow instructions from I, the Lord thy God, that teaches you to profit and shows you in the way that you should go. And if you hearkened unto me, if you'd follow those ways to profit, if you would follow those instructions to the right paths, you would have peace like a river. What's the river analogy? You see, the peace isn't a little spot of calm water. It's continuous. It flows. Flows like a river. Flows in your heart. It flows in your marriage. It flows in your children. It flows in your business. It flows. Peace like a river. It's a never-ending, constant flowing. Something that the world cannot give you, and the world cannot take it away. It comes, though. Now, I know this is the toughest part. That's why I'm slowed down. So let me take you another step farther. We know that we love the children of God when we love God. And keep his commandments. Right? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You cannot love God and violate his instructions. The love doesn't do that. Now watch this, because this is we're on the threshold of a phrase of Scripture. And by the way, don't be careful not to reject a concept of Scripture because it's just found in a phrase. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word thing. See, it's really important. Watch this now. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now watch this. This is a really big, big idea. And his commandments are not grievous to us. They don't irritate. They're not counterproductive. They aren't damaging. They aren't exploitive. They aren't intrusive. They aren't robbing us of progress. They're teaching us to profit. They're showing us the way that we should go. And because we love God, we keep His commandments. And these commandments are not irritating to us. In fact, we get to say, just like David did, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Now, if we had time, and we don't, but if we did, the preacher would want to go into a whole bunch of different areas of life. For example, one of the instructions to husbands is love your wife like Christ loved the church. Do you find that irritating? Or do you delight? Ooh. And you wives, yield to the leadership of your husband. Do you wish God hadn't said that? Do you really think He said that to spoil your life? To rob you of wholeness, of joy, of peace? No. So what do you think when you hear an instruction from God that says, ye fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Do you say, well, that's her job, not mine? And if you say that, you'll make one of the biggest mistakes in your life. This culture has ignored that simple instruction of God. And all God says, that they kept my commandments, then their peace would be like a river. But instead, we got a culture that's on the verge of self-destruction. And the destruction is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. It's a spiritual issue. And the issue is, will we be what the founders designed us to be, followers of God through Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory? Because, oh, if this culture would follow His commandments, then have they peace like a river. The commandments are not grievous to us. Let's look at a couple of translations. Loving God means doing what He tells us to do, and really, that isn't hard at all. I like that. One translation says, His commandments are not burdensome. We keep His commandments and they're not at all troublesome. Yeah. The way of the transgressor. It's hard. The way of peace is directly related to wisdom, and wisdom is directly related to keeping the commandments of God. So, in your adjudication of your response, reaction to people, be really careful. Don't snap to an emotional response, a glandular approach. Remember what we learned about emotional intelligence. Emotions that are under the control of intelligent thinking. And intelligent thinking, thinking that disagrees with God, is the absolute definition of stupidity and unintelligence. Yeah. But this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now there's more to this. For whatsoever born of God overcomes the world. Now watch this, because this is the next verse, right? I want to back up now. This is the love of God. We keep His commandments. The commandments are not irritating to us. Now look at the results if we keep the commandments. We overcome the world. You win. I'm the Lord thy God that teacheth thee to profit, to show you the way in which you should go. And you will overcome the world. It's not enough to be tolerant of people with ugly dispositions. God isn't just tolerating them. He does tolerate them, obviously, as long as it's possible. But He loves them. So why were we sinners? Christ died for the ungodly. So you see, this thing of being Christian is more than saying I do, signing a card, and showing up once in a while at a church meeting. This is about following instructions from headquarters. Every word of God is pure, like silver tried 7 times in the furnace. Now watch this. So this is the victory. What is the victory? Keeping the commandments. And they're not grievous to us. Because that's we who are born of God. We overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Now watch this, even our faith. Now this is a faith issue. Do you have faith in God? Let me ask the question a little bit differently. Do you have faith in His instructions? Do you have faith in His commandments? Do you have faith to believe that He's right about every subject on which He has spoken? That affects every kind of human relationship, good, bad, or indifferent. This is why you want to apply your faith. Because when you have faith, it's as if God sends an angel down into heaven with a golden hammer and a silver nail, and He fastens His truth to your life, and you'll never be grievous about the commandments of God again, because you understand them now. Because they come from the Lord thy God that teaches you to profit and shows you in a way that you should go. To be carnally minded is death. Watch this. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Following the ways of God. Now, peace has to be retained. God wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you to lose it. So, if we had time to go into the context here, Jesus is under big pressure and they're accusing Him. And does Jesus have a smart answer that could deflate their ego and make mockery of their accusation? Yeah. No one, anybody could outsmart Him. But instead, He held His peace. Now, this is a significant feature. Men who can hold their peace. Women who can hold their peace. Okay. So what does it mean to hold your peace? By the way, it's an instruction that God gave Moses to tell the people, the Lord, I'll fight for you, and you hold your peace.
Hey, this has got great stuff embedded right in this whole phrase here. Because there are times when we want to take up the crusade. We want to take up, we want to engage, we want to fight back, we want to argue, we want to debate, especially when we think we're smarter than them, because, and that's often true, because we know the ways of God. But if we know them well enough, then we'll know enough to hold our peace by times. Now watch here now. What does it mean to hold your peace? It means to hold your tongue. Zip it. Even though you want to say something. Phew. Even though you want to straighten that other person out. They are not likely in an emotional condition to receive from you. So speaking would create a non-peaceful engagement. God wants us to learn to hold our peace. Another definition, avoiding arguments or fights by remaining silent. Now, I can only tell you from my limited experience that in this kind of a context, an engagement usually induces a contest of wills, a contest of egos. Remember, only by pride comes what? Contention. So, if what you're about to say is not going to produce peace or be received with peace, you want to retain your peace. You want to hold your peace. Now, this is an ultimate notion of God, idea of God, plan of God, instruction of God. God wants peace to be part of the wisdom of your life. God wants peace to be the determining idea behind what we say or do. In other words, peace is his agenda, and peace must be our agenda, right? So above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, why is this? Because the love, peace, connection is really important. Of all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule. Rule. In your hearts. Let the peace of God rule. The peace. Watch this now. The peace. To the which also you're called. As a group. His group. His body. The real church. The true. The authentic Christian. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. To which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. I asked myself, so why is this tacked on the end? Be thankful. And I think it's simply because be thankful that you're following instructions from this wonderful Lord God who teaches you to profit, who has designed peace as his agenda for the world. Because let me tell you something. Heaven is the place of peace. the heavens are places of peace. Satan wanted, he was once a good angel, right? He was known as Lucifer, one of the big three. Three archangels. Lucifer, Micah, and Gabriel. They were the big three. And they had angels under their instruction and leadership. And Lucifer disrupted the peace. He had to get kicked out. He got kicked out. Can't do that. And the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. How did he disrupt the peace? He wanted to do it his way. His theme song could have been, "I Did It My Way." It is strange, to me very scary, that within Christendom there are people who are, quote, Christians who still insist on doing it their way. I'm going to do this Christian thing my way. So be thankful that you got the way of prophet. Now, I want to go back to this main idea here. Let the peace of God rule. Let me give you the Amplified. Well, let me give you some definition. Rule means to arbitrate. To rule means to prevail or govern, to be the decider, right? So, watch the Amplified. Let the peace from Christ's rule act as umpire continually in your heart. Sweet peace. Don't do what you don't have peace to do. Don't let anybody push you, coerce you, manipulate you to do what disrupts your peace. Let peace act as the umpire, calling fairness, foulness, the balls and the strikes. Let him call it. Let the peace act as the umpire continually. Look at that. Deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in your mind. Letting the peace of God rule. So my prayer today for you is that the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And the Lord be with you all.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.